long can you go on that thing?
It's recording. Gig? Yeah, it's a 30-gig camera. Is going to be on the interview, which is cool. I think people out there in Niner Nant should know that I have a 30-gig little teeny hard drive camera with a very large battery. So, hey, who are you, man? What's going on here?
I'm Kyle Marsh. I'm a program manager on the Unified Communications Platform team.
Interesting.
I'm Joe Caleb. I'm a developer on the Office Communications Network Core team.
All right.
Hey, I'm Chris Mayo. I'm a technical evangelist for the UC platform, so all the SDKs and the developer story around writing communications apps.
Great. So let's talk about writing communications apps on your platform. Give us a little, what is this thing, UCS? I've not really heard of it.
So we have a lot of different names. We try to change the name every few minutes. We started as a real-time communication server, RTC server.
Ah, okay.
Then we went to live communications in a fit of branding.
Yes.
We were matched with live meeting, so we had to have a same name. So we became the live communication server and live meeting, so which is our service. It does web conferencing.
Yes.
You know, meet, share PowerPoints, that kind of thing. Then in the latest release, we were told that live belongs to services in the cloud. So live meeting gets to stay live meeting. Live communication server does not.
Okay.
So we dropped the name live. Now we're just communication server. So we need three. You know, got to be something more than just CS. We have to have a third. So we're office communication server. So now we're OCS.
OCS.
Right. So we're that's the evolution. We've had lots of names over the last little while. But, you know, we've always really been at the core since our 2003 release. We're a SIP server, communication server.
Okay.
Right, what that means is SIP is an industry standard session initiation protocol. It drives how you do voice on the internet, or voice over the internet protocol, which is voice over IP.
Okay.
So it's how two endpoints figure out that they want to talk to each other. So two people trying to make a call, they use a SIP thing, SIP protocol, to say, hey, I'm trying to call you, yeah, I'm trying to ring back and forth. We also build on top of that using something called Simple, the idea of presence. So we want to drive communications by using presence from the very beginning, right? So I can see if you're present. If you're not present, I might not make a call, but I'll see your presence. I'll go ahead and start the call. Mm-hmm. From there, we use the network and software to do voice communications, audio, video. In our new live meeting in OCS, we have application sharing, the ability to share PowerPoints, you can share videos in there. Mm-hmm. And we do all of our audio conferencing now based on our servers. So you can now have a live meeting and not have to have an additional phone come in. You just go ahead and use our on-premise conferencing or the service, live meeting service as well. And we'll do the audio portion. So no additional call needed if you don't want to use it.
Interesting.
So that's kind of the fundamental of what we do. We are a communication server. We're in the business of being an enterprise communication service provider.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work? Let's talk a little bit about some of the details behind this. So when you're perhaps doing anything over the internet, I mean, you're going to be subject to, what's your connection speed, right? So if I want to have a conversation with you about something and I'm on a 56K modem and you're on broadband, how does that work? How do you deal with that?
Well, basically, we have our media technologies know how to decide on a connection speed, and they continually negotiate and find out how they can best use the bandwidth.
Okay.
Actually, connection speed is the least of our problems.
Sure.
Even if you're on a 56K connection, if you had a nice, clear 56K connection, that's not particularly challenging. Bigger challenge is, and we put a lot of effort into our media with what Joe mentions, our media technology. Mm-hmm. So we have what are called codecs that we actually have been working with the Windows Media folks on. So there are codecs. We have standard codecs that we support, the 711s, the 729s, etc., the rest that everybody has. Mm-hmm. We also have new codecs that we've developed using technology from Windows Media, the Windows Media Server, media player, that we can optimize. And from there, it's things like jitter and loss. That's really where the big problem happens. So if you have a nice, clear connection, even 56K, if it's good and solid, you're okay. The issue starts when, what happens when the packets come out of order? What happens when I lose a few in the middle, but I still have some on the other end? So, in a VoIP situation, you take a little bit of audio, you sample it, you put it in a little packet, and you send it off. But, the packets don't always travel in the same route. Some take shorter routes than others. Some can get there at different time frames. So we put a lot of effort in the OCS technology to core into making sure that we can reassemble the packets. Even if we don't get all the packets, we can simulate the difference in between them. Mm-hmm. So, we've been funding a lot of studies and looking at a lot of stuff in terms of doing that. And how we do it, we have another product coming out just about now or just shortly where we actually can record all the details of all of the packets throughout an audio call. So we can go back and find out what happened in individual packets and say, oh, well, look, you know what, here, you know, we can see that, you know, this is the reason the call quality dropped here. But working together with the Windows Media guys and our media team, we've got a really great environment for getting good quality voice and video without having to have a whole new network or a whole other network. So what we're saying is the power is in the software. It's not necessarily, oh, it's going to work great. All you need is a new network from scratch, greatest routers, and all new hardware. No, we can do this with software. We can do the right things, you know, with the bandwidth available. Again, bandwidth, but more the issue is, yeah, what about jitter? What about packet loss? What about all these other elements that go into a VoIP scenario?
Sure.
And we put a lot of work into making sure that those work really well.
Or even like a proxy-controlled network, right? How do you get through a proxy?
Well, that's another big area. So one of the big steps that we made in our latest release was, what do you need on edge to be a real VoIP provider?
Mm-hmm.
So the last time we did VoIP in 2005, really it only worked inside the network, or inside your enterprise network. If you want to do a voice call, you had to VPN in. Mm-hmm. So how do I make it work so that, you know, next week when Chris is in TechEd Europe, he can be in his hotel room, not VPN into Microsoft, not get into our corporate network,
mm-hmm.
still get his calls on his laptop if he wants. Well, the way we do that is with a bunch of edge servers, edge proxies,
mm-hmm.
and we have different roles. We have some just for the signaling part, so we can tell you that a call is coming. That's actually pretty easy because it's just text messages. The SIP protocol boils down to a bunch of text messages, goes back and forth. Hey, somebody's trying to call you. You know, send you okay, and it's ringing, and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step up is, great, now I have to get all these media packets, which have to travel much quicker
mm-hmm.
and have to be assembled, because that's the quality audio call. How do I get those in and out of the corporate network, right, across the NAFs and firewall? So we have supported an industry standard term called ICE, which is a combination of stun and turn for NAT firewall traversal. There's all this, you know, this is what everybody in the VoIP industry is doing kind of thing to get across these NAFs and firewalls. And we have roles of the OCS server that you put in your DMZ that provide this functionality.
Okay.
Right? So we, you know, we can go through the corporate network in that kind of fashion. And, yeah, you can have, you know, these kinds of controls. In fact, we've got a bank in Italy who's writing an ActiveX right now so that they can put it on their web page and they can call back to the bank from a customer desktop.
Hmm.
Doesn't require an ActiveX because our media stack has to be installed and we have to get some software onto the desktop to do this. But effectively, they're reaching out the OCS VoIP infrastructure to their customers. Their customers call the bank, doesn't matter where the customer is on the internet,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter physically where he's located.
Mm-hmm.
It knows how to make a call, so I could have an ActiveX that knows how to call KyleMar@Microsoft.com. It doesn't need any more information than that. Then we publish particular entries in the DNS or the server, etc. We know how to find the SIP server, which is us, and relay the traffic. So I can do that call without any other infrastructure. No telephony network, no 800 number, nothing. Just boom, I make the call over the existing internet infrastructure.
Outstanding. Now, I mean, of course, this must mean that you guys have a nice API that I, as a developer, can use to add this functionality to my .NET application. Perhaps.
It absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the idea that the bank in Italy is using what we call our UCC APIs,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're using the client APIs that we use to build Communicator itself. So our solutions client is something called Office Communicator.
Yep.
Right? And that's our standard VoIP client and telephony client. The APIs we use to build that are available to developers. So these guys at the Italian bank have gone off and said, well, I'll build a very special client. Mm-hmm. It only knows to call one number.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't use presence, but it knows how to make one voice call. If you want to do something else, and you can go ahead and build that into a .NET application. We also have a middle-tier managed API, fully managed API, for if you have a service you want to enable.
Cool.
things like bots.
Right. So let's talk. You're out in the real world, Chris, right? What are people doing with this?
So there's a couple of different things we're doing. So Khaled mentioned the fact that you can take presence. So if you've ever been, if you've seen Outlook 2007 with Communicator 2007,
yes,
everywhere you see somebody's name, you can see their presence. And you can see, you know, if you've got an email that, you know, is a really hot topic you need to get on top of with other people in your team, mm-hmm. you can see whether they're available online, you know, if they're available for a call or IM or whatever, and you can right-click on that email and say, you know, start up an IM conference or a voice conference or whatever based on the subject on an email. And we call that presence and contextual collaboration. That's one of the first APIs we have, where you can build into your application the ability to show the presence of contacts every time you show somebody's name. And you can spin up conversations based on that. So rather than having somebody... you know, within your application, look at some information and pick up the phone or go and look up their contact information or whatever to start collaborating with that person, they can just do it all there with one click. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the APIs we support. We also support the concept of IM-based and speech-based API or UIs. So you can sit there and see a contact that's what's called an IM bot mm-hmm. within your communicator's contacts, and that's not a person, right? What it is, it's a back-end service that's actually have an IM front-end that provides information from your SQL Server database, web services, CRM, ERP, whatever.
Wow.
So you just right-click on that guy and start an IM conversation, and it's actually, you know, through IM, looking up information from you, running queries and stuff like that.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, you mentioned, this is something as from a developer's perspective, working on the product. I mean, so if I start an IM session with one of these bots and I type in, as a normal user, I'm not going to say select star from some database name I'm just going to say, how am I going to talk to you? How do you expect me to communicate with you? Natural language? And what are you doing? Parsing it and turning it into queries?
In terms of bots, there's a variety of techniques that you can use. You can use complicated techniques such as natural languages. You can do some more simplistic ones where you say type in 1 for this, 2 for that, 3 for that.
Mm.
We can also, using some of the elements of our speech APIs, you can actually create grammars for what you're looking for.
Cool.
And parse it against those grammars. Okay. And I have a blog series. blogs.msdn.com/JCALEV.
Okay.
And that details how to do some of that.
Cool. Right. We'll put that link on this when we post this.
So the UCM API is what allows you to do that, and there's some great samples on Joe's blog as well as in the SDK. And we've even got one where it's we're using IM to front-end a state machine in Windows Workflow. So you can actually have something where, you know, if someone needed to call into the support desk and they're in a meeting so they don't have the ability to use, you know, the phone, they can sit there and then right-click on the support contact, and it can walk them through the workflow of identifying the problem, maybe send them a link or an email with a link so they can self-service, or if it's something that they don't have, you know, there's not like a known solution to the problem, they can connect them via UCMA again by redirecting the IM conversation to a voice conversation with someone on the other line that could help them, and these kind of things. And that's with the UCMA. With Office Communication Server 2007, Speech Server, you can actually do that same kind of thing, but do it all through text-to-speech and speech recognition.
Nice.
So you can supply, create an application that if someone needed to call in sick, you know, the workflow of calling in sick, they could do something where, you know, you can call into the application through speech application. It can ask, you know, do you want to call in sick? Yeah, I want to call in sick. Or you can check your schedule for the day or check your sick balance, all these kinds of things. And it can kick off a workflow where it would actually go and, if it was like shift-based work, could go and IM all the people that aren't working that day, asking if they can take the shift. And since it's an IM bot, they could respond in IM, and it could actually go through the workflow of rescheduling that shift, all that done just through IM and voice.
Amazing. So, you know, of course, while you were saying that, I was thinking of Scotty in Star Trek talking to his computer.
right. And that's where we want to go, right?
But I mean, what the question that leads from that thought is, what is the requirement of the back end? So, in other words, what's the pattern of the structure on the back end that's required for me to write a front end where I could, for example, write a client in this? Mm-hmm. And launch Office or launch Communicator, turn on my mic, and I can start talking to my computer, like, hey, computer. I mean, I teach the computer that I'm going to call a computer or whatever.
Right.
So my question is, what is necessary on the data or structure that you want to create this enabled API against, right? You said workflow, SQL. Those are very different constructs. So what's the basic?
Right.
Is there a limit to what can be there? So can it be an operating system, a shell?
Well, the starting point is our speech server.
Yes.
Right. If you want to talk through, have a voice service, uh-huh. right? You start by speech server, which uses workflow. So there's a couple of different ways you can design a speech server application, and Joe's the best one to talk to about that.
The primary method you'd want to use is workflow.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a number of activities, and you can actually create custom activities if the activities that we supply don't work for you.
Okay.
And we supply also a designer so that you can, it integrates with Visual Studio.
Mm.
And so you can drag and drop activities there to the canvas for workflow, mm-hmm. as well as we have two different grammar designers so that
okay.
we can help you, because grammars can be quite difficult
okay.
to develop.
Actually, we should probably talk a little, what is a grammar?
Yeah.
A grammar is basically, it tells us what are the possible responses that someone could give.
Mm.
And it, not only that, but it also, there's different types of grammars. You could have a classification grammar, for example, we call it a how may I help you grammar,
mm.
where someone, you call a tech support line and they say, what can we do for you? And there's a variety of different things you could say, like my machine's broken, or
mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And it will try to classify it into specific categories
okay.
and decide from there you can route it to the appropriate place.
So
or you can ask more information.
So bringing that one example that I had said back down to earth would be if, you know, I launched Communicator and said, call Chris Mayo. That's my command. So that's a speech-enabled API. I'm not talking about Vista's,
right.
you know, launch this, do this kind of command sequence mm-hmm. that they have. They have their own grammar for their whole speech API. I'm talking about what you guys provide in your
so the
client. Could I do that? I mean, I should be able to do
so
that.
So what
yes.
we don't what we don't do is speech-enable the driving of Communicator. What we do, for example, you don't talk to Communicator. To make Communicator do
you don't
things.
Communicate with Communicator.
You don't communicate. You that's right. You use Communicator to communicate with someone else. So, for example, we supply a button in Communicator to launch your voice to start talking to your voicemail.
Okay.
Right. So you talk to something like Exchange Voice Access,
mm-hmm.
right, or Outlook Voice Access rather, and from there you can do all the things that you would normally do through that speech interface. So
mm-hmm.
have it read your emails, have it change your calendar, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So what we provide is the technology that drives Outlook Voice Access,
okay.
right, as part of our speech server kind of thing. And it's actually a fairly sophisticated problem in terms of developing a speech-enabled service. So, as Joe was saying, well, what's the grammar? So what are the possible, responses that I would expect here? What will the system tell you back? So we have this whole thing about managing prompts. Oh, well, when he says this, I'm going to say that back to him. So we can give you a script from your prompts. We can store them for you. Here's a script of all the prompts that you've designed.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and hire someone with a good voice to actually say them
mm-hmm.
And record them, and we'll put them back in the system and so on. So the idea of speech-enabling services so that, you can call in, at Microsoft today, we have power failures around here fairly often. The only thing I can use to talk to back here to the office is Outlook Voice Access. I can use my cell phone, pick it up, or use my desk phone,
mm-hmm.
pick it up, get my calendar, get my email, and I'm talking to a system that's all enabled with our speech technology
mm-hmm.
from our speech server as part of OCS. That can do things like, well, read me my calendar, or just tell everybody I'm not going to make it today.
Okay.
And that's the end of the speech business that we enable in OCS today.
Okay.
And that's our speech server SDK.
Understood. So what I was talking about, really, you could leverage Vista to
right.
run those
right.
commands for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. Cool. So you have a pretty interesting phone sitting there behind you, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you talk to that? I mean, that's definitely...
What's going on here?
So let me lock it real quick just so you can see. So this is my phone. This is the phone that I use every day. I happily threw my other one in the garbage. And this is a voice over IP phone that's running a version of Office Communicator Phone Edition. Hmm. And this is how I place all my calls. So when I want to use my phone, if I wanted to just use it right now, it works just like a regular house phone. Like I can call the front desk, and of course I can call emergency numbers and stuff like that. But if I wanted to, you know, place a call, it's got a fingerprint reader on there. And then I unlock the phone, and you can see here that all my contacts, I'm just using the little jog wheel here, so all my contacts are integrated into this particular phone, just like I have them in Communicator. And this is really the coolest part about this, is the fact that I've also got presence. So if I wanted to call Mauricio, I could tell whether he's going to be able to pick up or not. Like, if he's busy in a meeting, I know calling him isn't going to make any sense. So I should send him an email, or maybe if I know that it's a team meeting or a meeting with a bunch of people, maybe I'll IM him because he could IM me back. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, pick it up, regular dial tone, voice over IP. I mean, the sound quality is really nice. The thing that I like about it is that it integrates not only my presence, you can see that I'm busy doing Channel 9, but I can also, when I'm calling people, I can also, you know, see whether they're present or not and then determine the best way to contact
them. And, of course, it sensed that you were busy automatically, right?
I mean, I pulled it from my calendar, right? So when I'm in a meeting, it integrates with Outlook just like it integrates, like, OC, because it is OC. So it sees that I'm in a meeting, and then it says, okay, I'm busy. So it automatically marks me as busy.
So it changes the color of
the little
communicator
spheres
icon in the
bottom
there.
Let's do that. So I'm going to make myself available so people can call me in the middle of our Channel 9 video. So you can see I just changed it, and the little light here changes.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So,
yeah. Oh, it's green now.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I'm available.
So let me ask you this. What happens when the electricity goes out? Somebody tells me you're not using that phone to communicate.
Right. So
actually, enterprises, depending upon their infrastructure, that phone is able to take power off of the IP off of your IP connection.
Okay.
So if you've got an enterprise, you know, and it is an option that they supply power over IP. So we do have power connectors, which we're using right here, but it is set up so that you can have it, and it can be self-powered off of its network connection.
Very cool.
Right, so you only need to power up at that end. So, and it is a, you know, it's a low power device. It's running Windows CE. It's you know, it's not a big PC by any means. It runs a flavor of CE, and that's why we can run a flavor of Communicator on it. Right. But you know, it is possible to enable that device even in that situation.
Right, and I can also do Simulring, right? So I can take my cell phone and just in Communicator, just with a menu item, I can sit there and say, okay, whenever I get a call, always simul-ring this particular number, right? So I can make it so whenever I get a call, it rings both my cell phone if I'm walking down the hall or I'm talking to somebody else in another room, I can determine whether I want to take that call or not. We can also do really easy call forwarding and not like when you sit there and you pick up the phone and you dial a whole bunch of digits and hope that it works or maybe you disconnect them or whatever. I mean, you just, within Communicator, just right-click and say call forward and then it shows you like all the numbers that you have within the GAL or your global address list, or you can type in a new number and stuff like that.
So are there any plans to take this mobile?
Is that absolutely, we have a Communicator Mobile Edition already.
Good.
So if you have a Windows mobile device, we have a version of Communicator for that. It's actually very closely related to the one that's on the phone.
Fantastic.
They're both CE based. So and the nice thing about that is if you are in your enterprise and you have a dual antenna device or a dual radio device that's able to be on the Wi-Fi network at the same time, you can do VoIP calls from the Communicator Mobile. So you're not using cell phone minutes, you're not using your cell phone provider, you're doing a voice over IP call using your enterprise infrastructure to do a VoIP call from the device.
Nice.
Right, so we actually can do, you know, the device could go either way. And there are other mobile options. RIM is one of our partners. They've enabled their application, their client to use Presence Instant Messaging. They are the phone, so they do. They're using something in the next release. One of the new features of our AJAX API. They built a connector using our Unified Communications AJAX API that talks to their VES. And what happens is they're going to use the call direct redirection. Right, so when the call comes in and they know that you're on that device, they can just forward that call using one of our APIs directly to the device's PSTN number.
Nice.
Right, so they can say, "Oh, look, I see that you're actively using your BlackBerry right now. There's an incoming call on your desk phone, and I don't have to have set up call forwarding here. It knows that my desk phone's ringing. mm-hmm. regardless of whether I've told it to forward to any device or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just knows whenever my desk phone's ringing, because our AJAX APIs tell you your desk phone's ringing, here's the number that's calling. Mm-hmm. And then you can use one of the AJAX commands to simply send back and say, well, forward it here. Mm-hmm. So you could forward it to voicemail, or you could mm-hmm. forward it to any number, and you know the device clearly knows its own number, so it could forward it to itself. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can set up these rules or have them, you know, use the APIs to effectively create them on the fly. Right? So those both the Windows Mobile and the BlackBerry guys already have clients for our infrastructure.
So when you say Windows Mobile and BlackBerry guys, you're talking about different operating systems, or are you talking about BlackBerry running Windows Mobile?
No, I'm talking about different operating systems. So the folks at BlackBerry have written their own client.
Nice.
Using our AJAX APIs.
Great.
Their own client, sorry, for OCS.
So the iPhone conceivably could do the same thing.
Nothing preventing it, of course.
Sure, yeah, except for Apple, maybe. Just kidding.
A question of desire, I suppose. But the BlackBerry folks, you know, mm-hmm. they do want to enable enterprise communication, so they've gone ahead and used our AJAX APIs, created a connector. They've made a client that shows you the same presence, effectively, you see on the phone you just looked at, is available on a BlackBerry.
Okay.
They went ahead and wrote that.
So are you saying, when you say AJAX, I immediately think web pages and JavaScript. So are we talking the same language here?
Well,
I mean, AJAX is
AJAX is a methodology,
JavaScript,
right?
Yeah.
What we have is a plain old XML service,
uh-huh.
right? Using our Unified Communications AJAX SDK, you set up our Communicator Web Access server,
mm-hmm.
and it provides what apparently is now called a plain old XML service. Okay. XML, no SOAP, no WSDL, just here's your XML packet, send it back and forth, which is what most AJAX developers want to use. It's just a straightforward XML service.
Mm-hmm.
It provides our web client, so Communicator Web Access, which is our browser-based client for IAM and Presence, uses these APIs. That's how we write it for lots of different browsers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also usable from any other device that can make an HTTP request.
Great.
So we actually have another partner who's done they have a traditional IP phone, or a phone that can also do IP, can make mm-hmm. those requests. They're showing presence on their phone from OCS by making an HTTP request to the AJAX service.
Great.
Because it's very lightweight, plain old XML service. So mm-hmm. you don't need to know the SOAP, you don't need to do anything. It's just, okay, you send me this packet, I'll send you this one back.
Cool.
And you can expose presence that way mm-hmm. on other devices from other operating systems or other environments.
Great. So, I mean, what you said is really important because, for example, on an iPhone, and for example, they have a browser that fully supports AJAX and JavaScript and various things. So today, you could actually go on a device like that and get presence by going to a web page.
I've not tried an iPhone myself, but we do support Safari. So assuming that the iPhone is Safari,
it is Safari.
There isn't any reason why our Communicator Web Access client shouldn't run an iPhone.
Fantastic, right?
And it will give you the standard behavior on the Communicator Web Access client is you'll get a little toast pop-up when mm-hmm. your desk phone rings at the office, and there'll be a button on it to say redirect to a number,
mm-hmm.
and you've put your iPhone's number in your list of sort of this is the one I'll redirect to. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to push that, and the iPhone will ring.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to have to try this out.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's a great API because you can do things like on your website, you can do click to chat and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can have a link on there that shows that, you know, if you're looking to buy a stereo and you don't know if it's going to work with your current setup and stuff like that, and you want to talk to someone with some sort of expertise, you're in a meeting, you shouldn't really be, you know, on the phone talking to folks about buying a stereo and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You could use a link in, you know, a web page that says click to chat that could open up a window that you could do all through AJAX. You could do the communications back and forth to the back-end server and wire up a chat between that, you know, that stereo expert that works for, you know, the stereo website and get all that communication just wired up through AJAX. So it's really, really cool.
That is actually, I mean, I must say, that's a really compelling scenario because it's platform independent.
Right.
Yes.
And that's one of the interesting things of dynamic sort of, you know, the whole re-revolution of the internet and browsers and whatnot. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And you can make some really compelling UIs with Silverlight.
Yeah.
If you wanted to throw in some Silverlight for fun.
So
very interesting.
The big limitation we have today for browser-based applications is that they can't natively do voice and video without an additional add-in. Right? So you can do our call control kind of functionality. Mm-hmm. Presence instant messaging is great. Multi-party instant messaging is fine. Mm-hmm. You can use our APIs to call in people, but you can't, you know, the idea, like on the iPhone or the RIM device, will forward the call to the PSTN part, the cell phone part of that device. Mm-hmm. We can't natively bring them in without some additional software on their phone.
Certainly, right, certainly. And on a closed phone, it's going to be very
That will
difficult.
Be a little more difficult.
Well, maybe they'll open it up, right? We have some incredibly interesting innovations that can be used regardless of platform.
Right.
So. Very cool. So what else do you want to talk about? I mean, this is important stuff here that we haven't heard
so,
much about.
You know, we really haven't talked about, like, extended communicator is another great way. I mean, everybody's used to using communicator using IM is just as prevalent as using a phone within the enterprise today. So what can we do within communicator to bring your line of business applications or stuff that you've written, you know, elsewhere in the enterprise and bring it into that particular UI? So you can do things like tabs where, you know, you can have different tabs. So if you select, for instance, if you selected a contact within your contact list, you could match that up with live maps and have it show, you know, where that person is within the U.S. Or like here on campus, we have one that if I select Kyle, I can see what building he's in, and it shows me the walking route to walk from my building to his building. Mm-hmm. Just an example. So you can integrate information into communicator that way. You can integrate apps. So you can have, you know, when someone starts up a call, you can use the context of that call to start up an application, pass that context to the launch of the application, and do things like, you know, have information above and beyond just the fact that, you know, Charles is calling me. Yeah. If Charles is a customer, you could have the CRM application pop up so I could see, you know, his, you know, your order history and stuff like that. So there's ability to integrate, you know, applications and stuff like that into your communications so you can do stuff, you know, beyond just being having an IM conversation or a call.
Certainly.
Or things like that.
So, could you conceivably hook into, like, GPS and then virtual Earth?
Yeah, yeah.
So I could say I'm going to call, like, you know, my uncle's coming to town. I'm going to call him when he hits this spot.
Right.
He hits the spot, or maybe he hits that spot, and my phone automatically rings. I mean, I know that's a little bit far-fetched.
Well, actually, so there are a couple of things that I'd like to mention from what Chris started with. The first one was that...
Forget about what crazy shit I just said.
Well, no.
I'm kidding.
We'll get to that in a second. The first one I just wanted to talk about was that one of my favorite things about using Communicator does have an API set, right? And a nice new feature of Outlook is you push a button, call all, and it brings everyone who's on the from and the to and the CC line of your email into a multi-party audio conference.
Huh.
No 800 numbers, no dialing, no anything, right? That's a couple of lines of call into the Communicator Automation API. Hey, launch me a multi-party conference. Here's everybody I want in. Done.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
The second thing, the point you bring up is, where are we going with Presence? So we kind of haven't talked too much about the developer side of Presence here, but we've built a very sophisticated Presence infrastructure into OCS.
Excellent.
Actually, a lot more sophisticated even than Communicator's using. So one of your things you're asking is, what if I had a custom Presence thing? Specifically, what if I knew the GPS location? Mm-hmm. Well, we do have an API set and the ability on the server for anyone to publish sort of any kind of custom Presence attribute you could think of. So while we have today in Communicator a fairly straightforward Presence string, I'm at the office, I'm at home, I'm in Barcelona, if you're Chris. But
or me.
Yeah, there you go. But if you wanted, there isn't anything preventing an application developer from saying, hey, I want to pick up, and we have a partner who's been working on this, I'll pick up the GPS coordinates from this mobile device, because it knows where it is, and I'll publish that as a custom Presence element. Now, Communicator wouldn't know what to do with it, but you can, for example, write a tab in Communicator, use the HX APIs to get just that custom Presence element, and map it on inside a Communicator or any other app, doesn't matter. Anyone who can see that Presence. We have a very sophisticated level of control in terms of who gets to see what Presence elements, what we call in Communicator Presence levels. So we have five built in. We have a team, personal, company, public, and blocked, right? So blocked, they just see offline, right? Company is people in my enterprise that we can identify automatically because of the domains. Public is for people who are federated, so whether you're talking to someone from AOL or Yahoo or MSN or any enterprise that's federated with you, you don't want them seeing maybe your office number, your office physical office number, or you know whether you're in a meeting or not. They just get to see whether you're busy. they see busy, they don't see specifically why you're busy. Like,
okay.
Whereas if I look at someone on my team, I don't see busy, I see in a meeting. Mm-hmm. And if I'm actually assigned to the team level, mm-hmm. I can then click on the contact card and see what the meeting's about and where it is.
If they decided to do that.
So you can decide, well, you know what? People on my team mm-hmm. get to see my GPS level. Mm-hmm. People in my family or my personal don't. Because mm-hmm. it's okay for my team members to know that I'm in a hotel in Barcelona right now, yeah. but my wife may not be. That maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right? So people have issues about where, you know, who gets to see what levels of presence, right?
Understood.
So we have an infrastructure that lets you do that. Presence mm-hmm. is not, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Presence might be, I'm here to you, but I'm not here to him.
Exactly.
Right? So we have an infrastructure built in that developers can use mm-hmm. to decide, okay, here's a particular small element of presence. Mm-hmm. So we've broken our big presence into lots of little pieces that mm-hmm. we call categories. You can create your own categories and have OCS publish them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to decide, well, this is a piece of information that should only be published to this particular group. If you want, you can start creating your own levels as well. That's more sophisticated and complicated. Excellent. But this server can enable all of that functionality for developers, and it opens up a whole new raft of possibilities in terms of really taking advantage of presence throughout the enterprise
mm-hmm.
and letting you do a whole lot more interesting things. Like, you know, for example, the folks in financial services, the trading desks,
mm-hmm.
they do need to know not just I'm on the call, but who am I talking to? That's something that my team might need to know. Other people wouldn't. Well, you could publish all that kind of presence information mm-hmm. using our infrastructure and the APIs, and pretty much all of the APIs support this, depending upon which level you are. So, you know, we have our UCC APIs that Communicator uses for desktop applications, mm-hmm. the web APIs, the Ajax service. And these APIs all can support this idea of presence and publishing and subscribing and that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot more richness to presence mm-hmm. than just I'm online.
Okay, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we publish as Chris was mentioning earlier. We integrate with your calendar to mm-hmm. publish automatically whether you're in a meeting. We integrate with your telephony system, which is usually us, but could be a traditional PBX if you wanted
mm-hmm.
to publish whether you're on the phone. Right, we can look at your out of office notes, publish that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'll look at your calendar and say, oh, well, I'll publish to your team where your meeting is located, what the meeting is about, and then I can make another decision. Well, you know, I really need to talk to Chris. Let me look. Oh, look, he's talking to, you know, about this to somebody else. Oh, you know, that's going to be a meeting he's going to be deeply involved with.
Sure.
I can't get to him. Oh, look, you know, he's doing a Channel 9 interview. Well, okay, I probably can't talk to him.
He could actually create right now, that presence.
Right.
Well, right now it's automatic, right? Because the topic of his meeting request to us to show up here today was a Channel 9 interview. So anyone at his team level knows he's doing Channel 9 right now.
You know, not to barge in, right?
As opposed to everyone else in the company just knows he's in a meeting, mm-hmm. and people outside the company know he's busy. And that's all enabled with our presence infrastructure.
That's awesome. I mean, again, it shows sort of what you guys have built is really a platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are a platform company. You hear people say that all the time. This is a great example. I mean, Communicator is just, in some sense of the word, a very complicated, or, you know, a complex, feature-rich demo of what the platform is capable of.
Exactly. Yep.
And for some people, it may be enough. For others, there's a whole world of possibility. And I think that's something that, as an evangelist, Chris, that we need to get out there, and that's what you do, right?
I mean,
it's important that we talk about the fact that this enables classes of applications that you guys haven't even thought about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going to be talking about in Tech at Barcelona and hopefully on Channel 9, you know, moving forward and stuff like that. So, I mean, out of the box, it's cool. I mean, you've got voice and video and IM all within this one client. It integrates with your calendar, integrates with your phone system, all that stuff.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and integrating presence into your emails and calendaring and all that stuff is great. Mm-hmm. But where it gets really cool is when you think about it as a platform. So, you know, if I can, within my application, start up a call using data from that application, suddenly I have a much richer ability to communicate or let my users communicate using my application, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to do things like integrate automation of Communicator to start calls and video and stuff like that, using bots, using speech, or using communications just in general to be able to extend the reach of my application. So it's not just a web page and it's not just a Windows app. Now mm-hmm. I can call people. People can call me as an application or a service running, you know, all tied into OCS. I can do things like have IM bots that people can use to kick off a business process, like sign off an expense report or look up the status of a package or things like that. And yeah, being able to use those non-traditional UIs, it's really cool.
Absolutely. And nice work. We're at it, Mr. Dev over there. It's cool. And, you know, you too. This is great stuff. You guys really are doing some innovative things over in Office World. You are part of Office, right?
We are part of Office.
So you work with under Rakes and that whole clan?
Yep.
All right. I guess we do, too, now.
We do.
All right. Hey, but we're not in Office. We're just under... He just subsumed our
That's right.
our thing. Yeah. Hey, well, great to meet you guys. And maybe we'll see you again. And we'll get people to your blog to learn how to... Developers learn how to actually write and innovate on this. And you'll probably see Chris around, probably maybe even conducting some interviews in the future on Channel
Absolutely.
9. And
then come to Tech Ed Barcelona and learn about UC. We've got 7 sessions all about creating these kind of applications. We're going to show some really cool demos. We're going to have a booth so we can, you know, ad hoc write some code, show people how to do this stuff.
Outstanding. All right. Well, great to meet you guys.
Cool.
All
right. Thanks.
Uh-huh.